Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Catalyst Stories podcast. I'm John Hino, your host for today's episode. And today, I'm so excited to have our Grow Director here at Catalyst. And so in her role, she oversees all the small groups and the small group leaders and all activities centered around the spiritual growth of our church family. And I got to say, Dale, you're doing such an amazing job. And I'm speaking directly as being a small group leader and seeing firsthand your leadership, your support, your encouragement, and your resources that you provide for all the small groups and their leaders. So you are such a blessing. So thank you. She herself leads two different small groups, one being a women's small group and the other a married with young kids small group, and she leads with Pastor Barry. And she also leads several transformation huddles, or tea huddles as they're called, which are accountability groups of two or three that meet consistently for discussion, growth, encouragement, and support. She is married to our lead pastor, Barry. And this year, they celebrated their 35th wedding anniversary. So congratulations to both of you. Together, they have three grown children, daughters Mindy and Megan, and son Matt, son-in-law Lauren, and grandson affectionately known as Huddy. Yes, we cannot forget little Huddy. And I don't know, for some reason, I just love saying that name, Huddy. And Mindy and Lauren are also expecting another son this coming December, right?
Okay. Yeah, end of the year.
End of the year. So a big congratulations to them and to you and Barry as well. And with that, Dale DeGucci, welcome to Catalyst Stories.
Yeah, thank you, John. I'm excited to be here with you. And thank you so much for doing the Catalyst Stories. They're a blessing.
Oh, great. Oh, thank you. Well, you know, we've talked about this day for quite some time, so it's so good to finally get to chat with you. And, you know, I thought you would get a kick out of this. Okay, so in preparing for today, I saw your title, Grow Director, directly under your picture on the Catalyst website. And I don't know why this silly thought came to mind, but I thought, wow, Dale is going to teach us all about how to grow our own vegetable garden. and this normally doesn't happen. I don't know what you think about that. So then I started thinking about transformation huddles. And I thought, if you ever started a transformation huddle with your grandson Hudson when he gets older, you can call it Tea Huddy.
Right.
So, I don't know. What do you think about that?
Well, it's funny. So when we named it Tea Huddles, somebody asked me at church, are you naming it after Huddy? And I said, no. But yeah, it's cute.
That's funny. That's funny. They beat me to the punchline there. So I don't know why, but the word joy comes to mind I don't know what if the Lord wants to release that today, but the word joy and delight were highlighted as I was thinking about today. And then it hit me that your incredible testimony that God gave you, which you're going to share today, lends itself to just pure joy and delight. I mean, maybe not the silly part, but so I thought to myself, you know, I wonder, you know, what you're doing, what you want to highlight here today. So we'll see where it goes. But I thought we could have some fun by having you talk about how you first met Pastor Barry. I know some people at our church know the story about how you first met Pastor Barry. So maybe you could start with that.
Right. Yeah. So I became a Christian in like 1980. And I remember when I became a Christian, I went to Gardena Valley Baptist Church.
Yeah.
Loved it there. John, you went there as well. Uh-huh, I remember you there.
Yes.
But I remember they had a Christian camp called Mount Hermon. Yeah. Where we could go up to camp for a week. Gems puts it on.
Yeah.
And
maybe I can interrupt right there. So Mount Hermon is a summer Christian conference. It lasts about a week.
Right.
And typically mostly Asian Americans. And when you mentioned Gems, I thought I'd just mention Gems is the Japanese Evangelical Missionary Society. And And so you were going to GEMS.
Right. I went to GEMS with my best friend. Yeah. And I remember I finished my first year of college at UCLA.
Okay.
So it was kind of, I went to college camp.
Oh, okay.
And then, and that's where I met Barry. He was from up north Sacramento. And I just remember when I met him, he was super, like, kind and patient and loving. And
And I'm just curious, how did you meet him? Did you approach him, or did he approach you, or was it you kind of locked eyes at the same time?
No. I think, you know how you have sister cabins and brother cabins at Mount Hermon?
Yeah, okay.
So my sister cabin, there was a gal in there named Diane, and she was from Sacramento, so she was the one that introduced Barry to me.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, just during the week and everything.
Okay. And so what were your, I mean, you just talked about your first impressions. So how did things kind of develop from there?
Yeah. So I met him and, you know, I was from Torrance. And at that time, the guys were like into their cars and making them really nice. And I remember when I met Barry, he was very simple, but it like attracted me. I'm like, wow, he's not like into material things. And he's just very simplistic, but in a loving, kind way. So it really, it caught my attention.
Yeah, so it's safe to say that right away you were attracted to him.
Yeah, I just thought he was a super nice guy. So we went to, you know, then during the week you could go to different seminars during your free time. And then I think we were in the same seminar together, and I'm like, oh, he's super nice, because I'm like super friendly. So I was saying hi to everybody the whole week.
Right, uh-huh.
I mean, not just him, but overall he left that impression of just being very kind and loving and,
And he had that look. He's a very good-looking guy. I mean, because what I remember was, I remember you brought him to Gardena Valley Baptist Church one evening.
And
he had the long flowing hair that, you know, they had back in the late 70s and the early 80s.
Right.
And I thought, wow, this guy's like a stud.
So, yeah, he's cute in his own Barry way.
So, who asked who out first then?
No, so then at Mount Hermon, you know, it's a whole week. So
you
develop friendships with brothers and sisters in Christ, with everybody.
Okay.
Right, you're not really going there to meet somebody. I wasn't. I just thought meeting family in Christ.
Yeah.
But I thought he was really nice. So I remember the last day, he doesn't know where he got this, but he gave me a little, a rose, like a fabric, but it was a rose.
Wow.
And I still have it to this day. It's purple, and I keep it in this little jar. But he gave that to me on the last day, and then after camp, we started writing to each other.
Okay.
And I was the first one that wrote him a letter.
Okay.
So that's how it started, just writing letters and keeping in touch.
Because
he was up north and I was in Torrance.
Yeah, so let me back up. What was your reaction when he sent you the rose?
Yeah, he gave it to me in person. Yeah. I just thought it was really sweet.
Yeah. So, I mean, are you thinking that wow, there's something that could develop here?
I think I just thought, a super nice brother in Christ.
Okay.
And kind of, you know, I think at that age I was like 18, so I didn't really feel ready for like a relationship. We didn't start dating until I was 21.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So maybe you can talk about that. What kind of...
Right. So, we kept in touch. We wrote letters. He lived in Sacramento. I lived in Torrance. We went to different schools, so we didn't live by each other. But I remember for his birthday in October, his friends knew that we were close. So they flew me up there to surprise him in San Francisco.
Oh.
So then they flew me up there. I hid all weekend in Sacramento. And then we re-met again on the pier. And then all his friends vanished. So then we just hung out. And then he had to take me back from San Francisco to Sacramento. And then we just spent time all together as a group. And then, we just kept in touch. And then eventually he moved to UCLA to finish his, you know, degree, because he went to JC for 2 years.
Okay.
So, So then he came down here.
Wow. So, I mean, as you look back, was part of the reason why he moved he went to UCLA was to was part of it, kind of to pursue you, or was it just kind of coincidental?
Yeah, I don't think it was me. I think it was he felt called to be in the ministry.
Oh, okay.
So then he knew he had to go to finish his degree, and then he was going to go to Fuller Seminary.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay,
out here in Pasadena, and then so I don't think it was me. But I don't know.
Yeah.
Could have been a part. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. We'll have to have him on, and he can share
his
perspective. So I know that you said God eventually revealed to you that Barry was the one for you. And so I wondered if you can talk about that, because that is a testimony in and of itself.
Right. Said. So Barry and I met at Mount Hermon, 1980, and then we kept in touch. We would write letters. Yeah. But then all of a sudden, inside my heart, I didn't feel ready. So I was kind of mean to him. So then he would visit every now and then, and I would be like, well, why is he visiting? Like, I don't really feel like seeing him. But I would still give him birthday gifts. So then he eventually moved down to El Segundo, went to UCLA, went to Fuller. But every time it was his birthday or Christmas, I would drive over there and just throw a gift in his apartment.
Throw a gift.
He would open the door, and I'd say, here, and then I would just leave. So there was something where...
What do you think it was that was holding you back? I mean, it sounds like you had some reservations.
Yeah, I think just emotionally, I was not ready for a relationship.
Oh, okay.
And I knew it.
Okay.
Like, I knew inside, like, I'm 18, 19, I'm not ready.
Okay.
Right. So then for a couple years, I kind of ignored him.
Wow.
And then, and he would still give me gifts and think, oh, she's just being Dale. She's just ignoring me. Oh, well, whatever.
Yeah.
And then I think when I turned 21, we both went back to Mount Hermon again. And then this time we cabin led at Inner High.
Oh, got you. Okay.
And then at Inner High, I remember I drove with somebody from Gardena Valley Baptist.
Yeah.
She was an older gal. And she would say after camp, oh my gosh, that Barry Deguchi, he's like the nicest guy. And he would be like such a good catch. And then I'm thinking, oh yeah, he would be. So then during that week, it started drumming up again when I was 20, 21.
Oh, okay.
And so then I think the feelings kind of came back and I felt like I was ready.
Oh, okay.
So then what happened was I called Barry and I had him come over to my house in Torrance where I lived with my parents. And then he said, oh, okay, well, what do you want to talk about? And I had a hard time saying, well, maybe we should see what happens. There's something between us. So he had to guess what I wanted because I was like so embarrassed. I didn't know what to say. So then finally he guessed it, like, oh, okay, you kind of think you're ready to start dating. And so then he had to say everything, but he said, okay, Dale, let's just start by just having Bible studies together once a week.
Okay.
And then see where it would go.
Yeah.
So that's how it started.
Wow. Okay.
Met him, ignored him for 2 years.
Yeah.
Came back again at Mount Hermon.
Yeah.
And then after that, when I felt ready in my heart, then we started dating when I was 21.
Yeah. So you kind of had this change of heart in a way. And what was his reaction? What was Barry's reaction?
He was open.
Yeah.
I mean, I think he always probably cared about me.
Yeah.
But he just didn't know why I was ignoring him for 2 years.
Okay.
So he just was patient, and then he seemed ready, and he seemed happy.
Yeah. So you're having Bible studies together, you're getting to know each other even more, and so tell us about the time that God revealed to you that he is the one, or he might be the one for you.
Or
was that it already then?
Right. So it was interesting. So the first time we had our Bible study, John.
Yeah.
It's probably, like 2021. But he said, oh, Dale, if we start dating, this would lead to marriage.
Oh.
So, right from the get-go, I just knew his intention, right?
Oh, okay.
Uh-huh, I knew going in, he wants to be in the ministry. He feels called to be a future pastor. So I think right in the beginning, we're both kind of very prayerful.
Mm-hmm,
I was in prayer, is this a calling God has for me? like yeah. not so much yeah. with him, but also being in the ministry.
Right.
That's another
right.
calling.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So now when he mentions this to you about that, hey, you know, this is the direction that I'm thinking, what is your reaction or what is your...
Right. I think I didn't know if I was ready then.
Yeah.
But I think I liked it because there's intentionality behind it.
Okay.
Like, you know, uh-huh. you're not just dating just to goof off or, I don't know. It's just, there's like a purpose.
Right.
It's like
right.
very purposeful. And, you know, I'm pretty purposeful in my life.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think it probably brought peace to me too. Like knowing, okay, this is a direction that he kind of envisions for us.
Right, right. And being a pastor and then knowing that you would eventually become a pastor's wife is, like you said, it's a really it's a high calling. And so it sounds like for you, you had a peace about that, and that was just, you knew in your heart that this was the way that I wanted to go, the direction I wanted to go in.
Yeah, we would meet with different couples. Like I remember meeting Gary and Valtawa.
Okay.
When we were dating, yeah, and I wanted to ask Val how it was for her.
Yeah.
And then I remember we met Ken and Snoopy Fong.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
From Evergreen, because Ken and Barry grew up in Sacramento together.
Oh,
Ken's older than Barry, but
yeah.
I remember going to their home and asking Snoopy about it as well. So kind of like just getting advice from fellow people in the ministry already, like what was it like for them? But I think bottom line, it came down to, do I love Barry? Not so much his calling. I mean, that was part of it, but I think it just came down to, do I see a future with him?
Mm-hmm.
And then everything else just unfolds.
Yeah, wow, that's neat. That's neat. Yeah, and here you are 35 years later.
Yeah.
Now. That's what an awesome testimony.
Right.
Yeah, okay. So I want to transition now and kind of get into the meat of our meeting today. The price is right. So now that, you know, roughly, I think it was 28 years ago, you had this idea of attending the popular game show, The Price is Right. And I believe, which is believed to be one of the longest running game shows on television. And I was reading it up that it's the longest running 5 days per week game show in the world. Started in 1956, hosted by Bill Cullen, and then revamped in 1972 and hosted by Bob Barker, and then since 2007, hosted by Drew Carey. And so I know that some of the people that are at Catalyst, our church family, know about this testimony, but I thought we could it'd be neat because you have even more details. So I wondered if you can start by telling us how and why you even got the idea to attend this popular game show.
Right. So my mother-in-law, she loves game shows.
Yeah.
And she loves The Price is Right. So I think at that time we knew that they were all coming to visit my mother-in-law, right, my father-in-law, and my sister-in-law and their family as well. So I remember telling Barry, hey, maybe I should get tickets because I think Mom would get out a kick out of going and viewing a taping of it.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I got three tickets for me, my mother-in-law, and my sister-in-law.
Yeah. And was that process pretty easy for you to get the tickets?
Yeah, I think so. I think you just, you know, write to whoever to get order tickets, and then they sent me three and on this certain day, and... Yeah, and then we just went.
Yeah, okay. So tell us about that day that you go to, because I think you said it was an all-day event.
Right. So prior to going, I remember telling Barry, right, if I go to The Price is Right, I think I could maybe win a van.
Yeah.
Right, I was like prayerful about it.
Yeah.
Right, because at that time, you know, Matthew was born, so we had three young children.
Yeah.
Barry had like a Civic small car, and I had a small Nissan. So with the three, you know, the car seats, and we just needed an extra vehicle.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I remember just thinking, okay, Lord, I'm going to ask you, like, maybe, I don't know, if you want, I can maybe win a car.
Yeah, yeah.
So that day going, I just remember that okay. was, like, implanted in my little mind.
Right, right. And Barry's reaction when you told him that was?
Yeah, I always play with Barry. We always tease each other all the time. We're always joking and goofing off. But I said, Barry, I think I could maybe win a van. And he would just look at me and kind of smirk and say, okay, Dale, you go there and you win us a van.
You're right.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. And I think you even told a really good friend of yours a similar comment.
Right, yeah, the night before when we were going to go, I talked to a close girlfriend on the phone, and I told her, hey, tomorrow I'm going to go to The Price is Right with my mother-in-law, my sister-in-law, and you know what? I'm going to try, I'm praying that maybe I'm going to win a van.
Yeah.
And she was cute. She just goes, oh, okay, Dale. Okay, go win yourself a van.
Yeah. So you arrive at the event, and tell us about how the day went for you.
Yeah, so we were gone pretty much from 8 to 4. It was like a long day.
Long day,
because you have to drive all the way to Burbank, and when you get there, I just remember the lines looked like Disneyland. You're just weaving in and out. They probably had a taping before us, so then you're just sort of waiting.
Oh, okay.
You know, I think they let like 250 people in, so you're just kind of conversing with... It's like Disneyland. You're just conversing with who's near you, and everybody's getting excited, and they don't know what to expect. So I just remember it was a fun time with my family, Barry's mom and sister, and just hanging out. None of us had our kids with us, and it was like the three gals just hanging out and having fun.
Yeah. And so as you, I think they asked you a question, right, and you're getting ready to go in. You were doing some kind of calculating. I mean, I know you're a very competitive person, which is an understatement, right?
Right.
You were kind of doing some calculating, and so maybe you can talk about that.
Right. So when you go through the line, it takes a while because they have three people that are interviewing. Yeah. You know, one person's taking notes, the other person's asking questions, because I think they're picking who their contestants are going to be.
Okay.
Right? So I remember when I went up there, they just asked me one simple question, where do you live? So I just, you know, basically telling them my address and telling them that I live in Lakewood, where Barry and I currently still live.
Yeah.
But I remember I always knew that with The Price is Right, like, they're going to pick different races because they want to represent America.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
They want to represent America. They're going to pick different races. So I would look through the audience and say, okay, they have to pick at least one Asian. And I counted with my family, and there's only like 7. So I was like, oh my gosh, we have a good shot.
Some good odds.
One of us has a good shot. So that was kind of like my mentality going into the studio.
Yeah. So you get in, and you said there's what, maybe 200, 300 people that are in with you. And so tell us about kind of how that went on from there.
Yeah, so they just usher you in. Yeah. They show you which aisle that you're going to sit in. So we were more kind of the left front area.
Okay. Uh-huh.
And so it's just exciting. You're just sitting there. And then again, I'm eyeing the competition.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, wait a minute, counting again. And and then it was just really fun being with my mom and my sister.
Yeah.
It was that made it really the reason why we were there for my mother-in-law.
Yes.
Yeah. So it was just really fun.
Yeah. And so tell us about the moment that they called you up to be a contestant.
Right. So on The Price is Right, they have 6 games, right? And so I was called up on the 5th game.
Okay.
So you're kind of going through the motions. They da-da-da, come on down. They're kind of, you know, everybody's clapping, everybody's getting excited. So since I was the 5th game, I was just watching how the former contestants were doing what they're doing.
Yeah.
But I remember every commercial break when the camera wasn't panning, I remember I was touching up my makeup because I thought, you never know.
Yeah.
You never know if they're going to pick you. So every commercial break, I would touch up my powder, whatever.
Yeah. I'm just seeing that, you know, through this whole experience, the faith, the belief that you had that you could be called at every moment. I mean, when you mention that, I think of when you're at a baseball game and some people bring a mitt because
right.
they think they're going to catch a foul ball.
Right.
And, you know, sometimes, you know, I just take the mitt off because I think, oh, nothing's going to, you know, come my way. But for you, it's like your mitt is the makeup. You're thinking, okay, you know, I got to be ready.
Oh, yeah. You could get called till that sixth game.
Like, yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So they call your name and tell us about that. I mean, what were you thinking when they, what was the feeling when they called you?
Right. So it was the fifth game that they have. And then I remember they pronounced my name wrong. No. So they said, Dale Gucci, come on down. And then I just remember, you know, me and my mom, my sister were just so excited, jumping up and down. And then since I was close to the front where I'm supposed to bid on something, it was just a super short
walk.
You
didn't have to go that far.
Yeah.
So the first thing that you have to do, or the first game that you have to participate in, is where they reveal a prize and then you have to bid on that. And so you even had a strategy for that. So maybe you can talk about that experience.
Right. So, when you get on the game show, you're one of the contestants, but then you have to bid to get on to win another game.
Yeah.
So for me, it was camping equipment. So, so then, of course, I'm the first one to bid. So then I just bid and I just tell myself, just, you know, don't go over. If you go over, then forget it, right? Then you're automatically out.
Yeah.
So I saw the camping equipment. It was like a tent and some other items. So I bid $450.
Okay.
And then the other contestants after, I think they bid like $800 and $900. So it was over.
Okay.
And I think the final count was like, it was around $550.
Okay.
So the other ones went over except for me, so then I was able to go up.
Do you remember what the final price was of that item?
I think it was maybe $550 or $600.
Okay. Pretty good. That's pretty close.
Yeah.
Okay. So you get called up and tell us what happened.
Right. So then you get called up, so I went up the steps, and then Bob Barker's there, right?
Yeah.
And then,
and I think you were saying that they instructed you that you recommended you can give them a kiss or something.
Right. They tell you prior to the game even starting for the whole audience, they kind of tell you what to do and what not to do. You know, get up, be all excited, and you could kiss them on the cheek if you want. So I'm like, okay. So when I went up there, it was a game called Money Game,
okay,
and it was to win a truck. Right, so they give you the middle number, and then you have to choose the first two digits and then the last two digits.
Oh, wow. That sounds tough.
Right, yeah. So I didn't win that one. I think I picked 13,000 for the first two, and then it wasn't. Then it was 12, then 10, then the last two. I didn't win.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
So at that point, I think are you still hopeful because you know that you're going to get to do the spin?
Yeah, that's just that game. And I think in my mind at that time, it was like, it doesn't matter that you didn't win the car. Like God graced you with winning the camping equipment.
Okay, uh-huh.
So I was just thankful. Yeah. Like, bummer about the car, but, I'm thankful that I won the camping equipment.
Yeah.
But I still knew that I could spin the wheel.
Yeah, okay. So tell us about that experience.
Right. So when you're on the game show, the first three contestants that get to do the games get to spin a wheel.
Yeah.
Right. So then I was in the second part of the show, so I got to spin the wheel as well. So what they do is if you spin it and you have to go completely around or they boo you, you don't want to be booed. But if you spin it and you hit the dollar, you win $1,000. And then they let you spin it again, whoever's the winner, and then you can, and if you hit the one, you win 10,000.
Yeah.
So I went first, and there was two people behind me. So I just remember telling myself, like, Dale, be graceful. You're on national television. You know, it's a hot summer day, so you are wearing shorts. So you just be as graceful as you can, but get that wheel around.
Yeah.
So I remember spinning it with all my might, and it got completely around, and it hit the dollar.
Wow.
So I won $1,000, and then they put me under the side,
yeah,
and then the other two people have to try to get to a dollar.
Yeah, so you just spun it. It just went around once
and
exactly one time and landed on the dollar.
Wow, it probably amazing. Went around one time and then one little notch.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, and then the other two people, they didn't come close to a dollar, so then they're out.
Yeah.
So then it's me trying to, so then for sure I'm in the showcase.
Yeah.
But then now they're like, okay, Dale, spin it again. And then I spin it again with all my might, and then I landed on the one, so then I won $10,000, so $11,000.
Yeah. And I think your immediate reaction was like, there's the van right there, right?
Yeah. Yeah. At that time, I just felt so thankful to the Lord, just thinking like, yeah, he sees our prayers, he sees our hearts, and he wants to answer me in a really fun way.
Yeah. Now, so I'm just curious, at that point, Dale, are you thinking, okay, I got what, you know, what I had asked for was, you know, the being able to get to buy the van, or are you also thinking ahead that, hey, we still have the grand showcase coming up?
Right. Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah. Like, so thankful that I won the money, but can't believe it. Like, you know, it goes pretty fast, but then I'm thinking, okay, Dale, the showcase is coming up. So I'm already trying to calculate like how to price things.
Oh, okay.
Cause you have to think on the fly, like how much do you think this item's worth?
Yeah.
So I'm already kind of working my little brain.
Wow. It's funny. And I was just thinking back to our Catalyst retreats, because when we have the game show time, the game time, it's, I mean, my thought is like, get out of Dale's way, because you could physically get hurt if you get in her way. And so it's just amusing to me that same competitiveness that you show at the Catalyst retreats, you had that way back then, even when you were younger.
Right. Yeah, I've always been a little fighter.
Yeah.
And I think I always will be.
Very competitive. So, tell us about the showcase. About what happened.
Right. So then it was a showcase between me and another guy, right? Okay, and because I made the most money through the wheel and through the, you know, the camping equipment, then I get to bid first.
Okay.
Right. Or I get to see the showcase, and if I don't like it, I could pass it.
Okay.
So I remember the first showcase was like a hot tub, and it was like this big chef's oven, and then it was a camping, like a trailer. And I already knew I was going to pass, even though it was worth a lot, because we lived in a townhome. I have no place to put that sauna.
The spa,
Spa, right. Or that big oven range. Like, it just wouldn't fit.
Yeah.
So I passed it, and then the other guy bid. He bid on it.
Okay.
Right. Uh-huh. Yeah. And then the second showcase came, and that was mine. And it was more simple. It was like dining room furniture, couches, a carpet, and two mopeds.
Oh,
and then a Pebble Beach statue, like a statue as well. So that was my showcase.
Yeah, yeah. And so you're both bidding, and what ended up happening?
Yeah. So he bid on the stuff that I didn't want, and then he really underbid by, I think it was $12,000.
Oh, wow.
And then when I bid, I underbid by $3,000. So because mine was less, then I won the showcase.
Yeah, wow. And plus you did all the you kind of did some calculations in your head, and you know, being the competitive person you are, that's pretty good.
And then it was neat at the end, because then my mother-in-law and my sister-in-law got to run up on stage.
Yeah.
Right? And then they're on camera.
Yeah.
And then they were on camera throughout the show too, because whenever I would win something, it would pan them.
Oh, okay.
Right? Because the goal was to take my mother-in-law to this game show.
Yeah.
So that was neat that they got to come on stage at the end as well.
Yeah. And I guess, is it like it looks on TV where all the confetti is flowing down, or was it just, I mean, what was that like?
I think it's just, they play the music.
Okay. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And then I just remember the models up there, you know, they're kind of like Vanna White showing you everything.
Uh-huh.
I remember they're really tall. And I remember one came up to me and she goes, "You're so tiny." But they were really sweet.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm just wondering, as you reflected on this experience, Dale, what are one or two takeaways for you?
Yeah, I guess one takeaway is you just never know how the Lord's going to provide for you.
Yeah.
You know, because I was praying for a van, right, for our family. Yeah. You know, because I didn't work. I homeschooled the kids, and so it was Barry's income.
Right.
So it just shows me that God could provide, you know, in any way.
Yeah.
And in this way, he provided in a really fun way.
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And, you know, I just thought of Matthew 6:8 came to mind. It says, "For your Father knows what you need before you even ask him." And God knew that your family was about to grow in size and, you know, you needed more precious cargo space to transport your little ones around. And I just thought, you know, another verse that came to mind was Proverbs 15:8. God delights in the prayers of the upright. And in other words, takes great joy and pleasure in our prayers. So I wondered what you had to say to that.
Yeah. I always appreciate the Lord because I always feel like he always, like even in the Israelites in the Old Testament, like he gave them manna every morning to eat.
Yes.
So to me, that's how God is with each of us. Like every morning, he's going to provide what you need.
Yes.
And he'll always give you just enough.
Yes.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. You know, sometimes I think God delights in blessing us because, you know, that's a part of his nature, a part of who he is. And, you know, he's such a generous God. And I know that I have to be careful because, you know, we're not advocating that God is like a genie in a bottle and, you know, ready to answer our every wish. You know, I know that's not what we're saying at all. But I thought, you know, sometimes when you know, when we also, when we ask for something and in you know, I when I think of your request, I've had times where I've had that same reaction that Barry and your good friend had, you know, kind of like a, okay, Dale, you know, kind of like a skeptical, you know, playful type of things. You know, and I'm thinking, no, God's not going to answer that prayer. You know, it's just too crazy or too over the top. And yet, you know, God saw your heart and God delights in blessing us. And so I wondered if you could maybe speak to that.
Yeah, the Lord is just always really good, right, John?
Yeah.
He's always good to us. He loves us. He, you know, like we like to shower our kids with surprises.
Yes.
You know, like
yes.
When it's their birthdays, I'm still like that. Even with Huddy, I'm always thinking of the next gift I could give him.
Yes.
And it's not even close to his birthday.
Yes.
But I feel like the Lord's the same thing with us.
Yes.
Like he wants to surprise us. He wants to bless us. And it doesn't have to always be material things as well, but
right.
he always
that's
likes right. to put a smile on our face.
Yes.
So it's kind of nice to wake up in the morning and just look for that smile where God wants to, you know, give us joy or,
yes.
you know,
yes.
he's smiling down at us.
That's right. That's
so it's
right.
just yeah. nice. We have a joyful God that we serve.
Yeah. I love that analogy that you used about children because you're absolutely right. You know, I want to bless our children. And I think there's even a verse, you know, if we want to give good things to our children,
right.
how much more does, you know, our Heavenly Father, you know, want to do things for his kids and see that look of delight on their face.
Right. Yeah. I like it because God always wants us to stay childlike, you know.
Yes.
So I like that
yes.
childlike uh-huh. faith and believing and
yes.
not being too stingy, like wanting things, but he just loves us so much.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, another verse came to mind as you were sharing, 1 Corinthians 1:27. God, you choose what the world considers foolish things to confound the wise. So I also thought about that again because, you know, your prayer could be considered, you know, gosh, that's so over the top. But, you know, hey, we have a God that can do anything. And, you know, the other thing that stands out to me is that sometimes when we bless others, we ourselves are blessed. And so it's like the kingdom of God working in reverse, right? Because, you know, the Bible says if you want to be first, you have to be last. If you want to be great in God's kingdom, learn to be the servant of all. And your intention all along, Dale, was to bless your mother-in-law and your sister-in-law by, you know, applying for the tickets to the show and you know, spending the day together, quality time together. But it's almost like God said to you, Dale, your heart was to bless your in-laws. Now watch this. I'm going to give you a blessing that you're never going to forget. So I wondered if you could speak to that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, we just love our mom. And even when I won the carpet, right, we wanted to give her something because that's why we went on the show. So she got the carpet, and then we gave some of the furniture to my parents, my parents as well.
But
yeah, if it wasn't for my mother-in-law wanting to go, right, we wouldn't have been able to experience it. Like all together.
Yeah. That's so neat. Something for everyone, you know.
Right.
You guys got the van and your whole family's taken care of and your mother-in-law and father-in-law and own parents got something too.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
And now, I'm just curious, who got the mopeds?
Oh, you know what? It's so funny. So Barry wanted to keep them, but I told him, they're too dangerous for you. I didn't want him to get hurt, so we eventually just sold them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we sold the mopeds because I didn't want him to putt-putt down the street.
Yeah. Wow, was that an easy sell? Because I can just see Barry saying, no, but I want to ride that moped.
Yeah, he did want to keep at least one, but I think we got rid of both of them.
Okay.
And I think we sold them pretty quick.
Yeah, okay. Right. Well, I guess at the end, I mean, you did win them, so.
Right.
I guess you get the final say,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Oh, that's so neat. So, Dale, as we close our time together, I just want to, first of all, thank you for being here with me on Catalyst Stories and sharing your incredible testimony with us.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, John. Thank you.
So, yeah. And I'd like to end our time together by lifting up a prayer of thanksgiving for our time today and for our listeners as well. So, let's pray.
Okay.
So, Lord, thank you for Dale's amazing, amazing experience. I want to give thanks for Dale's heart for wanting to bless her mother and sister-in-law by taking the time to get them all on the game show. And Lord, help us to be a blessing to others, not because we want to get something in return, but because it's who you are. It's a part of your DNA. And Lord, we ultimately want to be more and more like you. So help us to be a blessing of delight to others as you are a blessing of delight to us. And Lord, I thank you that that just like Dale got such a kick out of seeing her mother-in-law so happy and fulfilled by being on her dream show, Lord, that you delight in seeing us smile and living with joy in our lives. So Lord, help us to receive your joy that you've already given to us each and every day, that we might have lives that are fulfilled and satisfied, not by receiving stuff or things, Lord, but just by having you in our lives, that we could have genuine joy, Lord, of being together with you. And Lord, thank you for Dale's unwavering faith to believe for the seemingly impossible. Lord, give us that kind of faith, that kind of unwavering faith for things that the world might consider crazy or impossible. Lord, knowing that you are a God of the impossible, Lord, may we remember that and take that to heart. And Lord, thank you for providing for Dale and the Deguchi family. We acknowledge today that you know what we need even before we ask you. So help us to openly come to you with pure hearts and seek you when there's a need in our lives, Lord, knowing that you see us, that you hear us, that you love us, and you love when your children look to you. And now, Jesus, may you use this testimony in Dale's life to inspire all of us to become all that you created and called us to be in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. So until next time, take the time to reflect on and share your God-given testimonies and see how God uses you to become a catalyst of encouragement and inspiration to others. God bless.